Good morning, everyone. Hello. Yes, thank you for the waves. It's nice to see you. I'm scrolling through here and catching some faces. I'm actually just looking to see if my family are here, and I do see them. No, it's very nice to see you guys here. I wish that we were here together in person so we could shake hands and do that kind of thing, you know, if it were, you know, possible these days. But anyway, I'm glad to see you. And it really does mean something to be able to see one another. So thanks for turning your videos on and for sharing yourself and your face in your living room with everyone else. I know it means a lot to them as well. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers or in mothering roles. We are grateful for you and want to honor you. So thanks for what you do. And we're now going to move into a time of worship. Before we do, let me just give you a quick overview of the usual, what we're going through this morning. I'm going to start by a couple of readings, and we're going to sing a song together. Marco's going to keep us muted, and we will sing. And then we will have a story from one of our congregants. We're going to hear from Abigail Arthur, hear a little bit of an update on what was happening in Cape and Ray and how God was at work in this unusual time and bringing her back and so on. So we look forward to hearing from her. We're going to have then congregational prayer, and then Kristen is going to lead us in our children's time. We'll go into our reflection time over scripture, the book of Joel. We will have some small group discussion there briefly as well. And then we'll conclude with another song and then some announcements. So let me just remind you that although we are now including musical worship in our time together this morning, this whole thing that we are doing together is worship. And it is worship because you have gathered here together and set this time aside, and you are giving your attention and your loyalty to God. And God is pleased with that. And so thanks for doing that. This whole thing is worship. So let's begin our worship service together by hearing God's greeting. Here's what God says to us this morning. This is from the book of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he said, "Blessed are the spiritually poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." God's kingdom is theirs. If you don't feel like you measure up this morning, then God has good news for you. He's given you everything. It's all yours. Let's continue to our call to worship. This is from the book of Malachi. Please join me in reading this. I will read both sections, but I would invite you to respond from the comfort of your own homes. From the place where the sun rises to the place where it sets, the Lord will be honored and praised. All people will offer worship to our God. So let us bring him our best. Amen. Ask Marco to transition us to our first worship song.
Blessed be your name.
looking for Abigail Arthur now. I did see her earlier. So hi, Abigail. So friends, if you have not already, if you change your view from gallery to the speaker view, then when Abigail starts speaking again, your screen will switch to her and you'll see her. And I see Shelly and Ruby there in the screen as well. And so thanks for taking the time to share with us, Abigail. A number of people have been asking me to hear from you and to find out more about what life was like in Cape and Ray and what you were doing and how God was working. And then what happened to bring you back? So could you fill us in a little bit?
Yeah, no, definitely. Before I start, I want to thank the congregation. I know that I was supported in prayer throughout the entire process, and that meant a lot to be supported by my church family. So I just wanted to say that first. But my time in Costa Rica was incredible. If I were to sum it up with one word, I'd say very blessed. I was only there for 7 weeks out of the expected 17. And so with it being cut short, I am really able to look at it and see how everything was so intentional by God. And yeah, it was really special. There was 32 other young adults from 9 other countries there. And right away, we became like family. We served together, serving meals, working around the school base, cleaning, and doing some not so fun chores like cleaning the grease trap, as well as going to church together, laughing together, worshiping together, and playing lots of ultimate frisbee and soccer. For the first month, I took intensive like Spanish classes so that if we were able to do ministries, which unfortunately we were not able to do, we'd be able to communicate with the community around there, which was a really cool experience. Christ did a lot of cool things during that time that I'm still kind of processing and mulling over. But one of Cape and Ray's mission statements is that everybody comes back from their schools knowing that Christ is life, and what that truly means, that it is not I that live, but Christ within me, and he is dwelling within me. And so I went through this process of just full and total surrender, going through and seeing what things that I was holding on to that I didn't think that I needed to give to God, but I did, surrendering my emotions, my actions, and all of those things, and just drawing closer to his heart, falling in love with reading the Bible. We had some incredible classes on the Psalms. First and Second Kings and Ephesians, those were our three classes, and just seeing how faithful God is, his love and character for us, and how that dictates our lives for how we're supposed to live. Clearly, I am not still in 30 degree weather in Costa Rica. When the news came that it would be better for us to come home than to stay in Costa Rica, the government of Costa Rica was closing its borders pretty quickly and going in a full state of quarantine. That was a really hard thing to hear, of that my expectations for what my 4 months was going to look like was coming to a very, very quick halt, having to say a lot of hard goodbyes. But it gave a really cool, like, rubber hits the road faith application of just trusting that God has a situation in his hands. And just because I was leaving an incredible place that was so full of God, and God was so present there, that God was going with me wherever I go. I couldn't just learn about God in Cape and Ray, Ports and Torches in Costa Rica. He was continuing my journey. And that has been really evident through the last 4 weeks of being home, of just seeing God continue to working on my heart. And it's a journey of growing deeper in faith with him, which has been really incredible. And I've been super blessed by the whole experience. I have family all over the world now, and now I'm home safe with my family. Super special.
Great. Thank you so much, Abigail. It's great to hear a little bit about the fact that God has been working in your life, and especially in ways that maybe you weren't expecting or planning for. You know, you go with a certain plan and expectation for what this is going to look like. And when it goes sideways, I love that you were seeing that God was still at work, even in the midst of that. And I love the way that you sort of wrap that up by saying that God is going with me home as well. I'm going to continue his work here in me at home as well. So thanks for being an example to us. And thanks for your willingness to share both your example of going and wanting to serve and learn more, but then also your example of sharing with us how God is at work. Because that's something that we need to hear more of, these stories of how God is at work in people's lives. So thank you for doing that, Abigail. Much appreciated.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
All right. We're now going to transition this over to Joel Cadieu, who is going to offer our congregational prayer.
Hello, Unity. You can hear me, Ben? Everybody can hear me?
Yep, we can.
I just want to say that I am missing the actual part where we actually meet as people. Just my personality is I get energy from robbing it from introverts during gatherings together. And I miss stealing all your introverts' energy and going home with it while you guys go home drained. So I can't wait till we get back to doing that. Ben asked me to pray, and I've just been, over the last few weeks, God has just been really working. We're in a really difficult time right now. A lot of changes for people, a lot of stuff. But I really believe that this is when we allow it, when we allow Jesus to speak into our lives, and when we allow him to show us things, this is really, really fertile ground for our faith. And this time, as hard as it is for people, this can be a time where God can do amazing things to stretch our faith, to stretch what we thought was our faith. And if we allow him to, he can do a lot of pruning during these times. And even though they're hard, they can be good. And you can balance. I think the way the kingdom works is we have to balance these extremely trying times with, they were so rich, and I felt the presence of God like I've never felt before. So that's my prayer for Unity. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has been showing me during this time is that prayer is simply bringing kingdom of heaven language down here to earth. And that's what we're doing when we're praying. We are speaking truths from Jesus, from the kingdom of heaven, and we're speaking them into the material kingdom of the world. And as Christians, that's our job. We're kingdom people, and so we believe in the spiritual realm that there are things there that need to be spoken onto into the world. And so my prayer and what we're doing now is praying as a body, is we need to speak these things. And so one of the things that I want to pray about today briefly is what I see Satan trying to do during this is he's always trying to divide Christians. So our job as kingdom people is to be unified no matter what the circumstances are. And Satan is trying to always divide us. He's always trying to find cracks in. And it's happening a lot. And I see one of the ways that it's happening right now is how Christians are choosing to deal with this situation. You have Christians on one side who believe that we should follow government protocol. Whatever's going on with the experts in the medical community, that's what we should follow. And if they say to do that, we should do that. And that's okay. And you also have Christians on the other side who have some tough questions to ask. They see some gaps in some things, and they are maybe readers of history and understand that in history, governments always haven't looked out for the best interest of people. And they see they have some really hard questions that nobody's answering. And so they feel that maybe we should deal with this maybe a different way, and as kingdom people. And that's okay too. I think we need both sides of that, just like in anywhere in life. We need people that are going to be peaceful and calm. And we also need people who question and people who have hard questions that nobody wants to hear, but the kingdom needs. And so I think as a church, what are we going to do when we have people that are sitting next to each other in a pew or in a video next to us in Zoom who have completely opposite feelings and thoughts on how are we going to deal with this as a church? How does kingdom people do it? And Satan, if we allow him, will use that to divide us and pit us against each other. And so I think my prayer this morning is going to be that it starts with unity, because we have people on both sides of that fence in this, and people in between, is that we would display a kingdom attitude towards being disagreeing on how we're going to deal with it. That we're not going to let it divide us. We're not going to do the flesh and blood thing. We're going to know that there's spiritual forces above this that are trying to use us to divide us. And that we're going to be unified in this. So that's my prayer this morning, that we would find ways to say, I love my brother. I've been, even though we don't disagree, we don't agree on this, we all disagree on many things, that's not going to define who we are. We're okay to disagree on this. We don't have to be unified on how we're going to exactly play this out, but we are going to cling to Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that's what we're going to focus on going forward, is that no matter what happens, no matter how crappy the situation or good, that Jesus can use this to glorify his name, and he can redeem anything. He redeemed the cross. He can redeem anything. And so that's what we need to focus on, and that's my prayer for unity, that we would be together in this, no matter what our feelings are on how this is going to play out or whatever, and that we'd come together. So we've been praying this whole morning, including the worship, but let's come together. And I would ask that you'd pray with me. If you agree with what I'm saying, speak it out loud in your home, and let the kingdom, we as Unity are here to bring the kingdom to Red Deer. And so let's speak it out loud. Let's pray, Unity. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this body of believers. We are broken, broken people, Lord. We struggle with everything that the world struggles with. And we are in dire need of you. And I thank you that the people here have said, yes, we need Jesus. We accept his sacrifice for us. And through him, he can slowly change us to look more like him. And we're all on a journey. We're all on a different journey at that point. But I pray that we would really cling to that, that we are broken, broken humans in need of a Savior. And we have found him in Jesus. And I pray that we would look more and more like him. That we would use this time of COVID to not look at the negative things, and there are many, but to look at, Jesus, how can you use this time to make me look more like you? How can I reflect the kingdom of heaven here on earth during this time? And what do I need to change? Help us to look inward, Lord. Help us as Unity Baptist to take the 2x4 that's stuck in our eye before we try to look at the sliver in our brother's eye. I pray that we would all be looking inward during this time and seeing how we are broken, that we need to change before we ever need to look at somebody across the pew. And that's my prayer for unity, is that we would all be just broken at our own brokenness, and that we would cry out to you and let you be the one that changes us. And Heavenly Father, especially during this time where we all have different opinions of what's going on, I pray that we would keep them to ourselves unless the Holy Spirit prompts us, and that we would be totally calm, and we would look at other people's opinion of what's going on as greater than ours, and we would just be completely broken and just say, Lord, if I need to say something, make me say it. If not, help me keep it to myself. And Heavenly Father, I just pray for us as Unity right now, that we would be people that are, when the world is swimming in an ocean without a life preserver, that they would see us as people who have a peace coming from you, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world is desperately looking for right now, but us as kingdom people, we have it. And I Heavenly Father, I pray for unity, for Unity Baptist, for the church as a whole on the world, but I'm especially praying for Unity Baptist right now, that we would be united, especially those who have polar opposite opinions about how we should deal with this. May they be the closest in Unity Baptist. May the two people with the furthest ends of the thing, may they be the closest during this time, and may that be an example to the rest of us. If those two people can come together and be united in a time where they have completely different opposite opinions of how we should deal with this, then I can do that too. And I pray that for Unity Baptist, Lord. And I think of the people, it's been on my heart. I think of the Haynes who are mourning and people who have lost other ones who can't grieve the way we're normally supposed to be grieving with each other. And just, you don't realize how important that is until you're grieving. I pray for the Haynes, Lord, and anybody other family who's lost people. That is a tremendous ask to lose somebody and then to not be able to grieve the way that we grieve as people, which is together. So Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would just send a special blessing to the Hain family today as they mourn the loss of Terry's father. Heavenly Father, as we go forward, I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit to Ben and that he would be speaking powerfully to our hearts through your servant Ben as he gets into the Word and tells us what God has put on his heart this week. I ask these things in the powerful, powerful name of the risen Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen. Thank you, Joel. Much appreciated. Now I'm going to turn it over to Kristen for our children's moment.
Good morning, friends. Before I tell a story specific for kids, the material this week for Kids Church comes with a bit of a disclaimer. So reader discretion is advised. And the story that we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this week might not be one that you read if you were a Sunday school kid or grew up reading the Bible. It's the story of the sin of Achan. And so I just... put that out there to you first, families. It's the next story in our God story timeline, but I would encourage you to read it with your kids for what is appropriate for their age and stage. It might not be the whole story of Achan, is what I'm saying. All right. Friends, can I share something this morning that's a little close to my heart? This week, I felt grumpy. Not the whole week, but throughout the week. Have you ever had grumpy weeks like that? This week, I kind of felt chippy. And when I get chippy, I get snarky. And when I get snarky, I try and fix things. Or control things. What does it look like when I get chippy? Well, sometimes I get short with my words at the supper table, and I hurt my family with my words. Or I get so uptight and wound up that I try and fix some of the big problems in my life that seem like giants. And after reading the story in Joshua 7 this week, I realized that my actions were sinful. So God made an important agreement or covenant with his people. Remember Pastor Ben talking about that last week? This covenant with his people, God showed his people how they were to live. how they were to be happy, how they were to live with those they lived with in their family, but also the people that they met. And it all showed, the covenant also showed how they were to be close to God. Does this picture help? It's the covenant that God made with his people. So God's people, they spied the giants in the promised land, and the Israelite people then entered the land. God won the battle at Jericho, and the Bible says that God was with Joshua and his people, and the Israelite people actually became famous throughout all the land. They were in this land flowing with milk and honey, and life was perfect again. It was like they were back in the Garden of Eden. And God was taking care of his people like he promised. But I'm afraid that God's people didn't keep their part of the promise. They were like a horse charging at full speed away from God. And they broke their part, their important agreement with God. And there's one man that took some of the plunder. He took some of the spoils of the battle and he stole it. And he covered it up. He was like a squirrel and he hoarded it away instead of trusting God to take care of him. He was like a charging horse. So as you read this story with your families, that's what sin is. Sin is trying to get away from God, who loves us so deeply. And it's wanting to get our own way without him, like charging at full speed away from him, like a galloping horse after what we want. But guess what? God says that he can stop runaway horses. And he loves us so much that he'll gently lead us back. He even sent Jesus to be our rescuer. All right, friends, it was good to see you all this week. Before I turn it back over to Pastor Ben, can you say our big picture question with me? Whom can we trust? Your turn. Whom can we trust? We can trust God. Your turn. We can trust God. Bye for now, friends.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks even for tying it in with what we're talking about. We're in the book of Joel, and I'd invite you to turn there now. Use your table of contents at the front to find the book, because it's little. I love the way that you tied it in with and gave us that image of that sort of the galloping horse running away, and that's what sin is like. And that's what the people have been experiencing in the book of Joel. They've been wandering or perhaps running from God, like you described, Kristen, and they're running not just from a random person, they're running from someone that they have been in covenant with. A covenant, remember, marriage, like this. People supposed to be like this forever. And one group decided that they were going to start holding hands like this. And then eventually, they're not holding hands anymore, and God's people are running away. And that's what is happening in the book of Joel. So let me remind you of where we were last week, right here. The book of Joel, these people are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Remember what we talked about there? That the rock in the hard place is that they have just been through this locust plague. This locust plague means that it has absolutely decimated, destroyed, eaten up all of their crops, which means not only their food supply, but also how they were going to make money to purchase food for themselves down the road. So they're stuck between that rock, and that has just passed. And then ahead of them is coming an army to invade. And they're going to do exactly the same thing the locusts are going to do. They're going to destroy everything around them, and they're going to jeopardize the safety of God's people. They're going to destroy them as well. They're stuck between this rock and this hard place. And that's one of the reasons why we are in Joel, because their situation has a lot of parallels with ours. Now, it doesn't parallel in every way, but it does have a few parallels. We, sometimes as Albertans, are currently feeling like we are stuck between that rock and that hard place. We're in the middle of this pandemic thing. We don't even know if this is the middle, and we're caught in that. And then we see that here and further down the road, there are going to be further economic troubles, and it's causing people lots of worry, lots of trust issues being raised right now, and we feel stuck, and we're crying out to God. Now, we are in Joel not to explain why we are in this situation. Joel can't give us an explanation for our troubles. They wandered from God in the book of Joel, and I am not saying that we are wandering from God and therefore we are experiencing this pandemic. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think you can make that leap. But we are in the book of Joel to see how, when God's people are in crisis, how to respond to that crisis, and then how God in turn responds to his people's response. As we talked about last week, the first thing that the people do when this crisis hits is they call this solemn assembly together. They come back to one another and they admit that we were supposed to be in covenant together. If you can see my hands being held together once again, we are in covenant together. But one, we wandered, we pulled away, and we need to come back. We need to return to this covenant. And that's what they were doing. They called this solemn assembly together, and they admitted that they were wrong, and they recommitted themselves to their covenant with God. They admit that they'd wandered. And then, in response to the way that they reacted to this problem, here is what God says. Verse 19 of chapter 2. In response to his people, the Lord said, "I am sending you grain and wine and oil." We should probably pause here and say that's olive oil, not the Albertan stuff, okay? But God says, "I am sending you grain and wine and oil." And remember, they've just been through the famine, so they need this now more than ever. "I'm sending you this stuff, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a mockery among the nations." They'd gone from being the popular people to the people at the low end of the totem pole. They had just become so devastated by everything that had happened. And then a couple verses later, God says, "I will repay you," or probably better, "restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army," this is speaking about the locusts, "the great army which I sent against you." Let that sink in for a moment, those last lines. Because sometimes people quote the beginning of this verse and not the end of it. God sent that army. Think about that. Now, God sent the locusts, and Joel also will come out and say that God sent that army, you know, the rock and the hard place. God sent both of those. It comes right out in the text. I am not saying God sent this pandemic because we wandered. As I've already said, it's not an explanation. It's an example. But God sent those locusts, And we have, people are asking right now, how could we be going through something like this? How could God do that with Joel? How could we be going through something? How could a loving God allow something like this to be going on right now? They're in covenant. You know, God loves his people. How could a loving God be doing this thing? It reminds me of a time when I was sitting in Boston Pizza with Randy Johnson. Some of you remember Randy. And Randy Johnson always had a great way of asking questions. He'd look at you and he'd be like, is it ever okay to cut someone with a knife? You're like, no, Randy, it's never okay to cut someone with a knife. And then he says, well, what about surgery? Yeah, I guess sometimes it's okay to cut someone with a knife. Right now, God, as he is looking at his people in the book of Joel, the situation that they're in, it's like God saying, this patient needs surgery to save their lives. Right now, my patient, my people need surgery. And it's going to take a locust plague. And it's going to take an invading army. Because leaving them to suffer and to die would be more unloving than using the knife to perform the surgery. It's actually because these people are in covenant with their loving God that he loves them too much just to let them continue to wander off by themselves. He's going to go after them. He loves them so much, he will use surgery to intervene if he has to. The locusts and the army that were coming were the surgery that the people needed. And this is what it takes to bring them back. And if you read the intervention, the surgery worked. These people actually return. They call that solemn assembly and they get together and they come back to the covenant and they renew their vows and the surgery is successful and the lives of the patient, God's patient people, their life is saved. The patient was saved. Have you ever seen God work through a difficult situation to bring his people back to them or to bring something good out of something negative? That's what we're going to be talking about in our discussion groups that we are going to go to. So as we go into discussion groups, I want you to ask this question. How have you seen God take a difficult situation, whether he sent it or simply allowed it to happen, doesn't matter. How have you seen God take a difficult situation and bring something positive out of it? We heard Joel praying about this not long ago. And I'm sure you could give examples of how God has worked in your life or in the lives of people that you know to bring something positive out of something that was negative. So, Marco is going to break us into our discussion groups. Please make sure that you click the box to choose a group. When you go into your groups, you will be automatically unmuted. You don't need to worry about playing with muting and unmuting. You go into those groups and you should automatically be unmuted. And then when everyone comes back together, Marco automatically mutes everyone again. So you shouldn't need to play with the mute and unmute. At least this is what Marco has told me. So with that, let's go into our groups. We're going to take 5 minutes or so to just share some ideas around this question. Have you seen God take a difficult situation and bring something positive out of it? Let's go. Well, welcome back, everyone. You know, what I love about this passage is that God not only redeems his people from a difficult situation as they return to him, but he doesn't just sort of send them back to go deal with their new problems by themselves. It's not like God just sort of said, oh, business as usual again, sort of carry on. When God's people come back to him, his joy at that experience just overflows into generosity and into blessing. You know, their return pleases him so much that he just can't help but show kindness, or he chooses to show them kindness. And so we're now focusing on the first part of that verse, verse 25, where God says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, Now, years here means the years of produce that they lost, the growing seasons when they had these multiple plagues come in and devastate them. You know, their economy and food supply had been destroyed. But God chooses to show them grace, to give them a gift that they didn't earn. Just because they returned doesn't mean that God was obligated to do anything, but he wanted to show them kindness because God is a generous and kind person. You know, I think that Jesus may have gotten the story of the prodigal son from Joel, you know, just an idea. But, you know, when the prodigal comes home, he doesn't just get his old room back and a place at the table. When the prodigal comes home, God throws a party to celebrate him because that's what God is like. God's joy overflows in generosity and kindness toward his people when they return to him. Now, let me offer a caution once again. This is not a promise to us. So if someone prays over you and says, Lord, may you return to them the years that the locusts have eaten, that's cool. That's great. But if someone tells you God's going to return the years that the locusts have eaten because it's a promise that he gave you, you can't quite make that leap. Remember, we're not here to find an explanation. We're not here to claim someone else's promises and take them out of context. We are here instead to see what God is like. And this is what God is like. God is someone who longs for covenant faithfulness and doesn't want to leave his people with the consequences of their actions. And he is someone who is willing to go as far as surgery to save those whom he loves. And we can see someone who can work with the devastation that they have experienced and the troubling situations like ours as well. And he can use that to bring us back to him. And then he shows kindness even on top of all that. Now, will he restore to us the years that the pandemic eats? I don't know. He is not obligated to. But he is generous and kind. And as Joel prayed, we are going to find that when we return to God and deal with the stuff that God needs dealt with, he is more than willing to show all sorts of kindness and blessing and to restore friendship and covenant and to stay together. That's what our God is like. We hear generosity and we think, cha-ching, we think this stuff, right? We think money, money, money. But the promise here for Joel's people even, and how much more for us, goes way beyond material blessings. And in fact, that's where the passage is going to go, but we're going to get there next week, because God through Joel is going to offer these people a promise of blessing that goes far beyond material, and it goes far beyond their context, and it actually extends right into our very world and our day. But that's next week. And this week, let's just wrap up by reminding ourselves that God is faithful and that his joy absolutely overflows into generosity and kindness when his people return to him, and that he is going to continue working with them, working with us. Let's pray. Lord, we're in a time of needing to entrust our difficulties to you. The things that have happened to us, the things that we have brought on ourselves, the things that you may send our way at times. We've been reminded by Joel of your commitment to your covenant people and that you will go to any length to rescue them, to rescue us from self-destructing. So forgive us for playing the blame game when you're performing surgery to save us. We're looking for you to bring good out of what's difficult right now. And we are remembering your generosity in years past. May we be people who return to you because it's you, not because of what you might do for us. May the rewards of your love and your covenant commitment outweigh the distractions that the world offers. We want you and nothing less. In your name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing one more song and then close up with some announcements.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
All right, friends, thank you for being with us this morning. Let me give you just a brief announcement, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dave Bunny for another announcement or two. The in-team asked me to let you know that for those who are interested in blessing Sheldon and Jillian and baby Henry with a shower gift, Sandra Cadu is coordinating that. They're collecting money to give them a gift card for Babies R Us. So Sandra is going to be in touch with you very soon, and you can find out more about that from her. So please feel free. You know, obviously we can't hold showers, so we need to find other ways to welcome this little baby and bless the family. So now, I'm going to pass it over to Dave Bunny, who's got another in-team announcement.
Morning, everyone. So I just wanted to actually talk a little bit about the in-team. The in-team is Sandra Cadieu, Shelley Arthur, Jack and Susan Bromley, Mina Allinger, and myself. And so in this time of COVID, we're really trying to figure out, you know, how do we try to build community within Unity when we're all under quarantine? So we've got a couple of things going on this week. One is right after this service, we sent out a meeting notice, another Zoom meeting that once we're done here, if you want to jump into it, we just want to have a little bit of a social time. You know, that's one of the things. Zoom is great, but one of the things that we've really missed about being able to go to the church is that social time, you know, when the kids get dismissed or just after church. So we thought today we'd make a Zoom meeting available to be able to have everybody come together, those who are interested. As well, we've got Thursday at 2, we have kind of a tea time set up, another Zoom meeting for Thursday at 2, and then Thursday at 7:30 as well. So we'd love to invite you guys out, those who can make tea on Thursday or an evening on Thursday evening, feel free to come and join.
Okay, thanks, Dave. So I just checked my email as Dave was saying that, and the invitation is there. So feel free to log off of this meeting that we're in now and jump in on that, and we'll greet one another. We'll have some time to hang out together, whether it's 5 minutes or you stay longer. Be nice to connect. So let's wrap up our service here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace. Thanks for being with us, friends.